Mike, and then didn't sleep because, you know, I'm figuring out, you know, I'm figuring out how to sleep right now and tossing and turning and I don't, just like all those weird things that can go wrong. And normally I would just be stressing out. And then I would talk to people and I would vomit my stress on them, right? And at the end of the day, I would leave the room and they would probably leave the room more stressed out than I came into it. Anybody been around that? Okay, how about, so you know, when someone walks into the room, there's a presence that we carry. Do you know every person carries a presence? First of all, we carry the presence as believers in Jesus of the Lord. Jesus sits, the Spirit of Christ Jesus sits on the throne of our hearts. It's a matter of, are we going to release him to do what he wants to do in the room through us? Or are we going to get tuned in with the flesh? Because we do carry a certain presence with us. And I had some friends growing up, and I was thinking about it. Before I got a really close relationship with the Lord, you know, I was a believer, I was a Christian, but I was just coated in insecurity and stress and anxiety and depression. Just cycles of it. Anybody besides myself? Just being honest, okay? But God put strategic people in my life where it showed me a higher level, the seated in higher level places with him. And they carried the presence and release the presence of Holy Spirit. And one person, you know her, she was an elder at her church with her husband. You guys remember Joe and Erica Molinar? I grew up with her since a little kid. Her parents were here. I know. Eric and Lucy, you raised a beautiful family. But I was thinking of the very first person that I remember. There's tangible. I would actually hide at church to go spend the night at their house because my parents would forget me and I'd hang out at the Johnson house. And they had cats and I was allergic to cats. So I would just be on Benadryl and I would eat all their sugar cereal. And I would hang out with their daughter because their daughter at a young age tapped into how to just release the presence of God early. Truly, you know this. I loved being around her. And there was this overflowing love. And I asked her niece, Hannah, I said, you know, when you get around Aunt Erica, I said, what's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit that just kind of bubbles out? She goes, patience. And I go, oh my gosh, that is the other one. Because she is the most loving, patient person. I just want to chop heads off. And she is just so loving and patient. And when you get in a conversation with her, whether she prayed for you or not, you would leave with that tangible love and patience. It was just transferable, right? And I thought about another person you don't know. When I went to college and I was running from the call of God in my life, and there was a girl named Lizzie. And Lizzie and I had nothing in common, to be honest with you. Just, you ever get around that person, you're like, we do not connect on, you listen to what kind of music? And they're not even funny. And you know, like, there's just nothing in your personality that, like, connects. But she carried this presence of the peace of the Holy Spirit. And when Lizzie walked into the room, there was peace. And when I stopped hanging out with my friends that were doing goofy things on the weekend, I started hanging out with Lizzie, not because she was entertaining, but there was this a presence of peace around her that I hadn't learned to tap into as much. And then I thought about, there's a lady that mentored me, and she had this overflowing joy and confidence when she spoke. Like, there, you just get around her, and it was like, you got corrected, and you didn't even realize it, because it was like so much joy and confidence, and being around that made me more joyful and more confident. And if you ever get around Gerald Toby, she's here right now, everybody knows Gerald. You get around her, that woman gives you a hug, right? Like, Tiffany went out to, like, help me out on a project today, and, like, you just get joy and, like, strength and faith that every mountain's going to get moved. By the way, Miss Gerald has been believing for 10 years for a bigger food bank, and God gave her one. Do you know that woman of faith? And it was so interesting. Every time you talk to her, if you gave her 15 minutes, it might be 40, but she would somehow say, but I'm believing God. I believe in God. He's got a bigger building for me, and we're going to help more people. Come on, raise your hand if you've been. She overflowed with the oil of joy and strength and faith. And by the time you left her, by the way, you'd always smell like her perfume. She gave you a hug, and it was just, smell like Miss Gerald. And there was just this energizing faith. Come on, raise your hand. We all carry presence. So we're either tapping into and releasing the presence of Holy Spirit with all that. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? And then after that, by the way, if you walk in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it paves a way for the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when someone feels the unconditional love of God coming from you, they'll receive the gifts of the power through you. And this is where we sometimes miss it as a church. We go to pray for someone, but they're not sensing the fruits of the Spirit. They're sensing stuff that probably is not the best representation, judgment, criticism, holier than thou though. And so their faith level, their faith switch isn't on. And so it's not received. But when you overflow with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, always working at it, driving, had to drive to a church event an hour and a half, and that was not my best. People running their brakes under the speed limit. It was not my best. Anyway, I was not releasing the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's a choice. I threw the keys at Brad. I was like, you're driving. I'm not my best self right now. I was like, I'm done. All right. So, so my question to you right now, and I want you to write this down. My question to you is, when you walk into a room, whose presence and power are you releasing? Because we can get all fleshed out, including myself, people that know me, my young adults know me. You've seen me at my best and a lot of my worst. And you've grown with me, which is great because, you know, pastor's got to take your hat out and just be honest sometimes, right? And just say, hey, I really messed up. I totally vented on you and that was not cool. I repent of that. You guys, I've had those moments, you know. I'm really stressed out and like come later. I was like, I'm so sorry. I like just vomited stress all over you. I stressed my team out. Not okay. But you can get fleshed out. You can get, you know, negative Nancy. The Karens, right? Vomiting. If your name is Karen, don't take this personally. It's like a thing these days. All right. And they just vomit out judgment and criticism. You ever get around someone and you are never good enough? That just like when you get around them and you just feel like, wow, I am just never good enough for them. Like they're just picking at me and you just feel bad about yourself. How about the slimy gossiper? That's what gossip feels like. You just, somebody just is like, blah, blah, and you're trying to get away from it as fast as possible. And then you leave and you just feel dirty and slimy because they're just talking bad about everybody. Of recent, this thing called fear-mongering. Anybody know what that means? People that actually really like getting people riled up to be afraid about things and anxious about things. And they're sending all their YouTube videos and just got to tell everybody, you should be freaking out right now. You should be hoarding toilet paper. You need to get all the toilet paper you can because Christians need to make sure they have all the toilet paper in the world. Everybody else can use leaves. That's the youth pastor me. Moving along. But, you know, they feel like they have not done their job, until they have, like, made you really intensely anxious and fearful till you do what you need to do. Okay, you follow me. Everybody, am I been around the people? Like, I could have a great day, and they just sent me 3 YouTube videos, and then they walked into my office. You need to know! By the time they left, I was like, I just need to read my Bible. Okay, they are not releasing the presence of God because Jesus is the answer. He is not the problem. He is the answer. So when you're overflowing, this is my new spin on the Spirit-filled life. When you're overflowing, truly communing with Holy Spirit, you're going to just release the answer wherever you go. Satan's the problem. We don't need to talk more about him. He gets enough attention as it is. All right. So how about, let's see, so we talked about with so much. Let's throw anger on there. Frustration. Frustration can turn to anger. How about this? When you don't feel in control of your life, you know, you could either get depressed, or depressed feels weak sometimes. We're tired of crying, so we get what? Angry. There's actually, it's a psychological thing. You talk to counselors that a lot of people that feel out of control, which is based in fear, and a lot of people that feel depressed, which is self-centeredness. You're so consumed with your life, you forget that God's going to use you and lives around you are going to change. God's always doing something, right? And so anyway, it's like, I'm tired of crying. I'm going to get angry. And I'm going to go to the dinner table and vomit all my anger on everyone at the dinner table. And next thing you know, everybody leaves dinner just angry. And in the Tinder box of society right now, that anger can be the spark that ignites violence, riots. Seething slander that will destroy families, destroy your workplace. So that's the answer, but I mean, that's the problem. Who's the answer? Let's get back to that, right? Okay, so let's go back. Pastor Sherry, that's hard. Okay, that's okay. So what if we were so in tune with Holy Spirit, so in tune with the fullness? Because by the way, raise your hand if you believe in Jesus, okay? You believe in Jesus, He lives inside you. The Spirit of Christ Jesus. I'm like throwing so many pages of notes out right now. Just real talk conversation. It actually says in Scripture, I'll teach you later, that the Holy Spirit It is the Spirit of Christ Jesus that lives within us. And we found out 2 weeks ago, permanently, as long as Jesus is my Savior, as long as my faith in Him is alive and true, He rests permanently on the inside of me, right? So what if we got so tuned in with Him? What if we so pulled all of our affection towards Him and that He started to overflow? You know, my old messages where I just get a cup of water and I just start pouring and pouring. And what, because the people around me, Mom got on me about, we got the new carpet. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to do my pitcher analogy. All right, but just imagine getting so stirred up. Shaken, not stirred, you know, get so stirred up with the power of the Holy Spirit, so full of Him that you start to overflow and the people around you get wet. I used to actually just spray seltzer water all over everybody for all the people that worked really hard on their hair. So, you know, you're welcome. So the atmosphere around you, the people around you starts to shift. It starts to change when you get so filled and overflowing with Him. But what are we filled and overflowing of right now, right? You know, we get so filled and overflowing with Him, the dark shadows of cynicism start to shift and turn to faith and joyful expectation and good, right? Because God promises when we pray, there's an if and then there's a then, right? When, if you pray in faith, He will work all things together for good. But we have our part, right? What if you started releasing the power of your story? How many people are, you're in the middle of your story right now? I would have to preach in the middle of my story where my life was terrible. I was like, but I'm in faith. My life, I'm in the middle of it right now. The middle is really bad. But if you start sharing your story, focusing on the answer, focusing on what you know God is going to do, because you know His faithfulness, and you start sharing the healing and the deliverance and the redemption process in your life, right? It releases the power of the Holy Spirit to touch people's lives around you, and it strikes a chord of faith in them going, wow, if God can do it for them, even if they're in the middle of the story right now, He can do it for me. And it stirs faith, and faith is the catalyst for miracles, isn't it? Do you know your story will change the people around you and your family, your workplace, your neighbors? You know, this is actually the Spirit-filled life. We're actually a Spirit-filled church. Did you know that? We believe that everything that happened in the New Testament is for today. We don't believe it stopped when the last apostle passed away. When John the Revelator wrote the book of Revelations, when he passed away, some Christians think that all the miracles, signs, wonders, all the power of God just stopped when he died, which is totally not scriptural, but they believe it. It's actually an excuse to live a powerless, sad life. But the truly Spirit-filled life is tapping into who Jesus is now. Jesus is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever, and what He wants to do through you, even if you're in the middle of the story and it really stinks right now. Does that change the gospel? Does that change the truth? You're just in the middle of it, right? You're just in the middle of the story. He is working it out. If you read the end of the Bible, we always win. There's just big battles in between. All right, Ephesians 5:18. I like this in the Amplified Bible. There's the Amplified Classic, which is AMPC. It's my favorite thing to study. My dad gave me one of those in college. It was the Bible I read falling in love with Jesus. So it always has a special place in my heart. But what it does is it takes maybe the top five translations and puts them all together so things don't get lost in translation. So Ephesians 5:18, it says, ever be being is actually the original Greek translation. Be being is a constant thing, right? All you grammar people want to tell me what kind of grammar is. Nobody knows. I don't know. But it's being, okay? It is a constantly thing. Ever be being filled, another translation says, stimulated with the Holy Spirit, constantly guided by Him. This is the Spirit-filled life. It is not a one-time thing. When you ask to receive Jesus in your life, Holy Spirit, Christ Jesus lives in you. But did you know it is a choice to say, God, I want all of you that I can get, and I just don't want to keep you in the little box around my heart, but I want you to fill every part of my life, even if it gets messy, even if it gets a little, like, wild. How many people like a little messy wild? All you artist musicians out there that are all, like, it's probably my inner circles are artists and musicians, because I'm not. I just really appreciate how you see the world in Technicolor, because I get like that sometimes. But, you know, messy's kind of fun. Coloring outside the lines is kind of fun. People get really judgy. You ever hang out with someone that, like, judges you because you colored outside the lines? And you're like, I'm having fun. Oh, come on, parents of kids. Like, let them have a little fun. So Holy Spirit probably going to color outside your lines because He wants to fill you to the point of overflowing. But what does it do? It brings the color, brings the answer, brings the power, the peace, the transforming nature of God to the people around you. How are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Real simple. I'll give you a chance at the end. You can even do it right now at your seat. Did you know you don't have to have a crazy, emotional, dramatic moment for it to be real with God? I didn't know that growing up. I just thought it had to be, like, really emotional. So, you know, everybody's wired a little different. But you could just ask right now at your seat. In fact, let's just do it right now, just in case. Because sometimes people got to run out and check their crock pot, you know, 15 minutes before service is over. Wink, wink. All right. It's okay if the beans get mushy. How are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Just ask. It's throughout the New Testament. We have Jesus in our life, but we don't always give him full access to all of our life. And all he has to say is just ask and say, God, I want all of you I can get. Holy Spirit, fill me. You have access to every part of me. You guys want to just do it now? Just to, like, just refill a little bit? How many people just kind of got a little distracted the last week? Okay, let's do it. All right, just we don't have to yell. We don't have to shout. Just, you can just repeat after me. Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Fill me. Overflow to the people around me so the world changes. Just got to let them out of the box a little bit. The Spirit-filled life was meant to burn through you like wildfire to others. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. You remember when you had fun when you were a little younger? You just let loose and you could get wild. You ever been to a concert and you go up front? And you just go, I don't know, I'm just going to scream and yell and just, like, jump a little bit and, like, splash my water bottle on people around me because it's, like, 1,000 degrees at this concert. Come on, act like you've never been to a concert before. Come on. You just want to get a little wild. You know, you just paid a stupid amount of money for those tickets. You're going to, like, let loose a little bit. All right, football fans, come on. Come on. Like, the guys, they, like write their favorite, like, team on their chest and paint their faces, and they're like Mr. Corporate America, like 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, but they go a little wild on the football field, and they go rush out there and cheer, and they're like chest bumping and, you know, being ridiculous. Sometimes it's good to let loose a little bit. Remember who you're carrying. Jeremiah 20, verse 9, it says, his word burns in my heart like fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I just can't do it. I just got to let him out. When you're so focused on him and what he's done in your life, when you are so thankful for what he is doing, what he's going to continue to do, faith, it just bursts out in your story around other people. It bursts out like that Jurel, just joy, excitement, and faith everywhere you go. All right. Let's roll. We got so many places to go and so not enough time. It's a series. Just hang with me. I'll end early. This is why Pastor Sherry does series right now. So you can go back home and check your crockpots to make sure the beans don't get mushy. Hang out with people a little bit after service. Go to lunch with someone. Let's what in you come out on them. All right. So Mark chapter 5, 25 through 34. And for the sake of time, we're not going to read every single scripture because my sound booth guys sometimes mention that I put a lot of scripture on here. So go back and read the story. I'm going to tell you the story. You cool with that? All right. So Mark chapter 5, 25 through 34, this is the story of how Jesus' presence, not even his touch, the presence, the super saturation of the Holy Spirit that was in and overflowing out of Jesus Christ's life healed a woman with the issue of blood. And it was literally just her faith. We'll talk about it. Let's do it real quick. Okay. So Jesus carried and released the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, wherever he went. People were drawn to that love and power like a moth to the flame. You know, even his biggest critics were still drawn to him. They still want to engage him. They tried to debate him. He went into debate. But there was just, it was something so real about him that you were pulled to him. And he hosted the Holy Spirit, 100% God and 100% human, just like us. Raise your hand if you're human. Okay, just checking. All those sci-fi people out there, just checking. Okay, good, we're all human. Did you know that everything Jesus did, you can do? We have access to that same Holy Spirit inside us. He said, greater works will you do. That means he only had active ministry till 3 years till they killed him. So if you've been a Christian for 5 years, you can technically just keep going every day. We can be like the Energizer Bunny of the Holy Spirit if we can just stay connected with him. And I'm working on it. Trust me, my husband knows this. Like, I have those not cute days. Pastor Sherry is not always overflowing with the power and fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes I get all up in here. How many girls just get it stuck in their head and their emotions and they're like, ah! You know, okay, guys do it too. All right, but I'm working on it. Because the more we can do more with the Holy Spirit if we just tune into him and get out of our heads a little bit, right? Or get out of the heads of the people around us. All right. I have so much to tell you. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, I thank you. You just show me where to go. All right, so Jesus is being pressed on by a mob, by a crowd. So he's being touched by tons of people. Tons of people are touching him. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And this I don't have a lot of time to teach on, so I guess we're going to hit it in my series. But there was one woman so desperate and so in faith because she had heard. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by? And hearing and hearing and hearing. She kept hearing and hearing and hearing the reports of Jesus. She kept hearing and hearing over and over again. All these healings were happening. Every person that asked Jesus to be healed was healed. But all these people are pressing on him, and I bet they had needs too. I bet there were sick people, but why, what was different about her? She touched him, not even his physical person, just cloth, and there was a whole doctrine birthed out of this. It was talked about twice in the Bible, but she was so in faith. If I can just get close to him, if I can just get in the presence of him, if I can just crawl through a crowd in the dirt and the grime, which was against the law at that time, I don't have time to preach it. She is a sick woman, was not allowed to be out in public. She risked her life crawling through a crowd, and she kept saying, I think I can, if I can just touch his clothing, I know I will be healed. What is that? Faith. She touched him. She got close. She didn't even touch this physical person. In faith. And zap, like a lightning rod, a catalyst, faith. And the power of the Holy Spirit surged through her body, and she was immediately healed. God is not moved by your need. I had to really think about this the first time I heard that. I was like, oh, okay. He is moved by your faith. All these people were pressing him in need and need and need, but they weren't hearing and meditating and dwelling on who he is and his will, that they could get stirred up in faith. And faith was the catalyst, and that's what caused the healing power of God to surge through her. Faith begins where the will of God is known. She kept hearing God's will over and over again because she kept hearing every person that asked Jesus to be healed, every person that he said, yes, I'll heal you, was immediately healed, whether it was by word or by physical touch. She was building her faith. God's will is always to heal and bring freedom. His word, the gospels, when you dwell and read this thing, read the book of Luke. A lot of people are believing for healing in their body and their loved ones. Meditate, read Luke over and over again. It was written by a doctor, and it's one of the most detailed historical accounts of Jesus' works and his deeds and his healings. Just start building your faith. It is God's will to heal me. So how did Jesus live? This is going back to my message. How did Jesus live so tuned in constantly in conversation with the Holy Spirit? How did he live so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that in the midst of all the drama going on around him, how many people have drama going around you every day? Welcome home. Okay. Drama in the workplace, drama on TV. It's just all over. Okay. In the midst of everyone's drama and need and desperation and pain and depression, they're carrying that presence. In the midst of the darkness, he was so tuned in to Holy Spirit within him that he could sense when the Holy Spirit wanted to and then did move outside of his overflowing presence to connect like a lightning rod. It shot out of him like lightning with someone else's faith. He lived in vital connection with Holy Spirit. He lived really sensitive. Why? If you, like I said, I could give you a billion scriptures. Jesus would go about being a human. He'd have to eat. He'd have to hang with his friends. He had to answer a lot of questions. How many parents are their kids ask you billions of questions, and it's exhausting? People were asking Jesus billions of sometimes dumb questions. It was exhausting. And every second he got, he would just go sneak away a little bit, just kind of go off to the side and spend some time with Father, Father God in heaven. He'd get recharged. How many people have like a secret place? Might be your lawnmower. Might be, you know, lock yourself in the bathroom like my mom did. I like curling up on the couch just with my Bible. Might be your wood shop. My husband loves his wood shop. That's like God time. How many people have like a creative space where they just hang out with God? Maybe you have worship music playing, your Bible app playing. How about this? Me, it's driving. I love driving and just talking to Jesus. And just get away and just fill up in him and stir up and just tune your attention, tune your affection towards him. So Jesus lived so tuned in with the Holy Spirit, he was ever ready to release his power. It was just a second nature thing. And he commanded us, because he lived 100% God and 100% human as an example, he says, everything I do, you can do. Go do it in my name. He actually commanded us, go back and read it, Mark chapter 10, verse 8. He commanded us to heal the sick. He commanded us to release captives and set people free, cast out demons. He commanded us to make disciples. He's not going to command you to do something you cannot do, but you need him to do it. It says in Mark 10, verse 8, freely we have received this power, this love, this peace. Therefore, freely we give it. Otherwise, we're making it all about you. 1 John 4, 17. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, because as he is, who? They're talking about Jesus. As Jesus is in this world, so are we called to be in this world. Everything that he did, we can do by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We are his ambassadors. So in this series, yes, I kind of introed it. You're welcome. We're going to learn how to steward the presence of the Holy Spirit, how to honor him, how to carry, how to respond, and release his presence. And I'm going to just hit these golden nuggets that are actually, I'm learning. So you want to learn things as I'm learning? This is not my usual. I have like a really strong, normal message I do on Holy Spirit, and this is like from scratch. This is real fun. So there are three areas in life we need to host and release the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're doing good on time. All right. Number one, I'm gonna have you write three things down. We are called to host and release the presence of the Holy Spirit in three areas. Number one is individually. You know, we sing songs about revival. Guess where revival starts? In us. And a bunch of us come together and we get stirred up and it overflows. We are called to release the Holy Spirit in our community. That means where we gather with people. Every person has a community. We have a workplace community. We have our neighborhood community. If you're the person that's hoarding the toilet paper and has been living in your basement, you're online watching right now. You don't have community. You're isolated and getting really weird. I need you to leave your house and find community. You maybe like live in one of those rubber bubble things, like the bubble boy thing. Like, you can look ridiculous. I won't make fun of you to your face. Behind your back, maybe a little bit. I'll repent later. But yeah, please use wisdom. Be moved by the Holy Spirit. Use wisdom. Listen, the Bible says to use wisdom. If God is telling you in wisdom you need to wear a mask, okay? If God is telling you in wisdom I need to tell someone about Jesus 6 feet apart from them, that's fine, but don't live in your basement. All right, moving on up, okay. So individually, in your community, and in your world. Do you see this as an overflowing process? Do you know it's very interesting? People are not living in vital connection and affection and Jesus, just spending time with Holy Spirit individually, and then they go and try to change the world and it comes across like a smack in the face. Did you ever notice that? They go, you ever go, hear a preacher and they just have so much judgment and criticism and like self-righteousness holier than thou, and it just feels like nails on a chalkboard? I think we missed the first step. Individually, right? And sometimes people try to change their community and they're not having that overflowing in the fruits of the Spirit to pave the way for the power of the Holy Spirit. And so their family, friends, work, coworkers have totally written them off. Because the fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. All right, we're going to flip past my notes. If you go to, I know, sound booth, don't even worry about it. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, because I don't know if we'll get that far. These are the lists of the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence, it says in the Amplified Bible, the result of saturating yourself in the presence of God within us is love. So it says, this is Amplified, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act, why we're waiting. I love reading the Amplified Bible. I'm really bad at patience. Really bad. I'm working on it. Okay. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I need to remember gentleness when I tell people about Jesus. I'm working on it. Mom's really like the nice. You think like I laugh and I'm funny. She's like the really nice one. Okay. I can drop it like it's hot sometimes and I'm apologizing later. Put a little sugar on it. Okay. Self-control. But you know, when you keep reading, it talks about this, see, where is it? Oh, man. Where is it in my notes? Don't you love it? 23, 22 through 23, so much. Oh, okay. 21, actually works of the flesh, Galatians 5, 21. I'm getting a little messy. Messy's fun, right? I don't have to keep to the structure. It talks about the works of the flesh, and I'm going to just fast forward. You can go ahead and read it, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. But it talks about idolatry. That's anything you put first before God, which is what we dealt with in my first message. I have to smash my idols every day. Like, I stink at my phone sometimes, and I'm like, should I throw it against the wall? No, that's really expensive. But what I need to do is use some self-control and turn it off and put it across the room. Says it goes on to say, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy. So where are you going, Pastor Sherry? Individually, we are called to, number one, grow and steward our love relationship with Jesus. Because when we reconnect with his love every day for ourselves, you know, you have a hard time loving other people, you probably have a hard time loving yourself. You're really critical and judgmental of every person. You know, it's so funny. I get around people that have that spirit of judgment and criticism, but they like beat themselves up so hard. So God loves you unconditionally, even when we stink, even when we mess up. The purpose and call of every Christian is to grow and steward a close relationship with God. And we talked about it last time. It is through dwelling with him, resting in him, hanging out with the Lord. The Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus lives within us permanently, and he doesn't leave us when we mess up. He doesn't leave us when we stink at life and hurt somebody, hurt ourselves around us, right? He's sticking with us. He dwells with us. You don't believe me? Go back and listen to my last message. We opened up the Greek. We went back to the original translations to prove it to you. So the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 9 says this, we are not living the life of the flesh. Remember, I just read all those fleshy things. Gossip, division, slander, anger, frustration, partying, wild, all that stuff. It says we are not living that life controlled by our sinful nature. We are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and guides you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. He is not a child of God. What is he saying? The Spirit of Christ Jesus lives permanently in you. But it is our job to hang out with him enough and so stay tuned in him and tune our affections towards him. We get so filled with him that he starts overflowing and it changes us and the world around us. Philippians 1:19 says, the superabundant supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which upholds and helps me. This is grace. So in his divine presence of the Holy Spirit, grace is released. Grace is God's divine empowerment. It is, I have many messages about it, but it is the character and nature of God himself freely received in our life and reflected like a mirror into the world around us. And we have a superabundant, it actually talks about in a lot of scriptures, an overflowing, unending supply. Take me 45 minutes to preach it. Of the power of Christ Jesus within us. That when we can't do something in our own strength, he comes in like a flood to do it through you. So you can do things you could never do before. This grace DNA starts to mutate you to actually look and smell like Jesus. When you walk into the room, the stink of criticism and judgment is not on you. You walk into the room and all of a sudden that love, that joy, that peace, that patience coats you. Colossians 1:27 says, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Everybody say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So when we declare what God is doing in us and through us, the word of God, the scripture, which is so God-breathed, and we declare that over our own lives, the power of God, the grace of God comes in and starts changing us. When we declare God's word over other people's lives, it starts changing them too. The key to everything is we have to build and invest time in a daily relationship with him. In order to change the spiritual climate around us, we have to turn our affection, our love, our hearts back towards him, dwell in him, rest in him, host him, honor him. Because did you know your determined purpose in life is not to raise a perfect family? Because you won't do it. We're all human, okay? Release some of that pressure off your family a little bit. Do you know your determined purpose in life is actually not to be a billionaire, but God can use that, and he can like create orphanages and sponsor missions trips and help families. God wants to use that blessing to help other people, but that's not your purpose in life. You ever get really overwhelmed? They actually have this thing called purposeless depression. They say most people in their 20s really suffer with it. I did. And it actually means I don't know my purpose in life, or I think I do, but I can't do it because I'm so confined by my finances and my education. Everything I want to do, I can't do, and I feel oppressed, depressed. Ah, what do I do? Philippians 3, 9 through 10 was a revelation to me, and Amplified, it says this, that I may actually be found and known as in him. Verse 10, the Amplified Bible says this, for my determined purpose, everybody say, my determined purpose. You have to determine yourself to not lose sight of this purpose, is that I may know him and that I might progressively means it is an over and over daily thing, right? Become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and clearly, that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, that I may so share in his sufferings and be continually transformed into the spirit of his likeness. That would take me 45 minutes to preach, so go back and meditate on it. Meditate means just chew and chew and chew on it, chew on it, chew on it, and swallow it, chew on it, swallow it. Ruminate on it until it becomes alive. So when we soak him in to the tipping point of overflowing, we get so tuned into him, full of his love, not just for the Lord. We got to get tuned in with him for his love for us, even when we stink at life. And then you get so full of that unconditional love that it actually overflows on the people around you. And even when they're terrible to you, you can still find a sense of love for them, a compassion, because they're slowly destroying their life and every other life they come in contact with. And that compassion going, oh, wow, that really hurt what they did to me, but I love them. I still love them. Jesus died for them. I wouldn't wish hell on my worst enemy when you really think about it. You start releasing him wherever you go when you get so full of him. And then people around you start to change. So we come in contact with a living presence, the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory, starts coming alive and overflowing in the world around you. So the second area we are called to host and release is in his community. We as a church family, our purpose and calling is to build community. Build connection where Jesus is at the center, where we actually look and talk like him, where the presence of God is welcomed and dwelled. Do you know there are churches that the presence of God is actually not welcome? Because they don't like messy. Everything must be very structured and predictable, and we have to stick to the script. Pastor Sherry, you have to stick to your notes, and if you jump ahead, I can't get all your notes down, and I didn't write the scripture down. Worship team, you cannot do an extra song because we are stuck on this timeline. But don't let your kid sit down there, okay? So get your kid back up here. We love our teachers, all right? There are churches that the Holy Spirit is not welcome because we're control freaks. And messy scares us a little bit. But coloring outside the lines is fun. Can you tell I really couldn't color? I'm not an artist, so I could not color in the lines. I was not a good colorer. All right. We're to create community, a church body, where the Holy Spirit's presence is welcome and free. We are to be carriers of the tangible peace and love and joy, and we're to bring it into our community. We are to be a conduit, distributors of the Holy Spirit's freedom and healing power. All right, so this is the story I kind of want to end on. We're going to see how far we get. Acts chapter 5, 12 through 16. We're going to start there. So this is a snapshot. It's just like one page in the Bible, but it's a really good snapshot of a healthy church. And this is what we should, this should be kind of one of our watermarks. That means like we should just, there's always more. Let's not get comfortable in our sermon order, our flow of services. Let's not get so comfortable in our structure. Let's give God a little space to do his thing because it gets really fun and exciting. So Acts chapter 5, 12 through 16 says this, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among them. I mean, some miracles were happening. Things are crazy answers to prayer. The Message Bible says this, they all met regularly, everybody say regularly, in remarkable harmony, everybody say harmony, everybody say unity, The Amplified Bible, it says in one accord in the temple porch. So that means they were gathering together regularly. That just wasn't, you know, every other weekend. You know, sometimes we have like a visitation process with the Lord. I only go to church every other weekend because the other weekends are my fun days. Because like, you know, sometimes you just got to have fun. If you're not having fun at church, we're not doing our job, and you might not be doing yours. Regularly means it's not just even church on Sunday. They're hanging out. They barbecue. They might even front yard barbecue. Anybody been to the South? I love it. They front yard barbecue so they can talk to everybody and give some people some barbecue chicken. I love it. They met regularly in unity. Did you know you can't be unified unless you hang out? Hey, marriages. My marriage, that has to be my best friend. That you have to work on all the time, right? Otherwise, you can grow apart. You can actually choose to love someone but fall out of love with someone. You have to put some time in regularly. If you only have date night once a month and you're like, my parents had four kids and we did not have a lot of money, babysitters are expensive. Date night might be, you know, tell all the kids to go to bed early or put a movie on and you guys go sit in the living room and just hold hands and talk about life and eat Doritos in the entire bag and you don't share. Because mom and dad, that is your bag of Doritos tonight. Whatever your date night looks like, you're going to have to work at it. Friendships. Try to be best friends with someone and never hang out. My best friend is a single mom with two kids in town, and we text regularly, we talk on the phone, and when she puts her kids to bed at 8:30, I go over. And we talk until I probably shouldn't drive, and then I just go home and I pass out. We don't get to do that all the time. I have to really work for that time, but you have to invest. So it's the same thing with our relationship with each other because we're talking about the Holy Spirit overflowing in community. So we have to share life together. That means get real. When someone says, how are you doing? Fine. Fine. Good. Fine. Great. Well, your life, your face is not saying great. Your face is like stinking up the room. So you are not fine. You are lying. Okay? Be honest. All right. So sharing your life with someone, sharing meals, talking, sharing stories, building these relationships. It's not running out the door to stir your crock pot so the beans don't get mushy because people are like, I got to get to lunch. I have to eat all the time. I always have food. In my purse, I'm like, oh, I can't even drive without like eating. It's like stupid sometimes. I'm always eating. So, you know, if you're that hungry, put some food in your wife's purse. Grab some beef jerky. I like Slim Jims. I know they're disgusting, but I love them. All right? So put some Slim Jims in there, okay? Because if you run out the door, you are not going to overflow in community. And we're not going to be in unity. We just have a bunch of, should I filter? We're going to have a bunch of socially stunted weirdos that all sit kind of together on Sunday, but have no real social connection, no real meaningful connection, no real accountability. So you don't get weird and judgy and critical, and that's why people don't want to come to church. Gathering together keeps us healthy, normal. And by the way, then you won't lick your wounds in isolation. And you won't go through the fire alone. By the way, there are people going through fire in their life, whether it be in their marriage, in their health. There are people that, I had someone that was suffering from fighting cancer and wouldn't tell anybody. They were in a leadership position. And I'm like, you are fighting this battle with cancer and you won't tell anybody? Well, it's my business. I'm like, no, that's not healthy. We're called to fight along your side. You know, that's just an excuse to not be vulnerable. Okay. Off that. I'm working on it. I'm sorry. You know, this mom's the nice one. She's so nice. She really is. Okay. Verse 13 says, but none of the rest of the non-believers dared to associate with them. However, the people were holding them in high esteem and were speaking highly of them. What does that mean? It's kind of like contradiction, right? So Christians that actually followed Jesus back then actually looked like him, talked like him, did things that Jesus did. So there were the fruit of the Spirit. There was unconditional love and joy and peace and patience wherever they went. And then they tapped into the character of God where they did things in excellence. So they were the best employee. They may be like, you're a little weird. You're like smiling all the time. I don't know. Like you play that weird music, worship. They like lift their hands. It's weird. I looked it up on YouTube. Like, ooh, I don't know. You're kind of weird, but you're my best employee. You are my best employee. You are on time. You do things with excellence. You don't cut corners. All right, I don't know if I want to go to church with you yet until my life's falling apart, but I respect you. What Jesus are we showing them? Because a lot of people are different at church than they are in the workplace. Our words sometimes, our language, our four-letter words are a little different sometimes. We're all working on it. Nobody's perfect here. We're growing, right? We're growing. We have the days we bomb. Don't beat yourself up. We're just going to move forward. All right. So people were afraid to go to church with them because of the severe persecution. Did you know you could lose your business back then and even your life? Did you know that is the case in some countries right now? I can't even talk about Afghanistan. And we're afraid to tell our coworker what Jesus did in our lives because they might think we're weird. We're afraid to invite them to church because they might just reject us. I was rejected for prom twice. I survived. It was embarrassing. We'll survive. Builds character. All right. Amplified Bible, let's see, verse 14. We're still in Acts chapter 5. It says, more and more they were being added to. This group, this church was growing. More and more people started believing. Those who acknowledged Jesus as their Savior and devoted themselves to him joined and gathered with them the crowds of both men and women. So eventually people were watching them and go, yeah, you're maybe my best employee, but I don't know. I'm fine until things are not fine. And they're so desperate that they will ask the person that they don't even know if they believe in Jesus, but something about their life looks so much better than what my life is carrying. Something about the presence, and you probably know their story because you share your story. And maybe financially things are really hard. Maybe you're doing things like single in life, and you got abandoned. And maybe maybe you're battling some physical illness, and that coworker knows that story, and they see you're not faking it till you're making it, but you still have a confidence in God. You still have a peace and love, and you have this community thing. There's someone in the young adults, and people are really jealous of her because she wasn't alone. She had this backing of all these adoptive aunts and uncles, all these spiritual grandmas and spiritual grandpas, and like people were jealous of that community. But eventually you get so desperate that they start coming with you, right? And then there's this overflow of the real deal, and they experience the real love of God. The healing power, the depression is broken off. They get prayed for and they go back and they can't find the tumor. And they go, I don't know really what's going on. It might be a little weird, but I want it. And their church started growing. Individual revival brings what? Revival in your body, this church. People are like, when are we going to have revival? When's it going to look like what it used to look like? I said, do your part. What do you bring? Every person brings something. The Bible says every Christian has a gift and a talent. There's someone in our church that has this crazy gift of administration. I mean, it's bananas. Everything they touch in business, they have so much wisdom and their business multiplies. And like when people have questions, I send people to them. There is a gift to them. Honestly, they have sponsored so many kids to go to camp in that. So, you know, there are people that have this gift of compassion. This gift of love, this gift of joy. You know, that people have teaching gifts. You know, get in a grow group, okay? You know, you got to develop these things. Every person has something to give. And if you think you got nothing, come talk to me. We will pray and the Holy Spirit will show it to you. Every person has something to bring. Every person. Where am I? Okay. Verse 15, so that they even kept carrying out the sick into the streets and placing them on couches and sleeping bags in the hope. Hope is joyful expectation of good. It's really powerful. There's a faith that goes with it, right? And that as Peter passed by, Peter, one of my favorite guys, I was talking to Steph about it. Peter is the loudmouth that was one of Jesus's best friends that always said the wrong thing, always did the wrong thing, super insecure, and he finally got it together. And he's just overflowing with Holy Spirit, super powerful. And I just love Peter because I was like, if Peter can do it, so can I. All right. That as Peter passed by, at least his shadow might fall on them. So Peter's shadow is not like Peter Pan's shadow. Okay, some magical little thing that would, you know, dance around Peter. No, that's weird. No, just straight up. Okay, so I did a study on this. It says that people gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those with foul spirits, oppressive spirits, things that tormented their head. They were all healed. So what is this? What is this? Peter's shadow was not this like magical like Peter Pan shadow. Peter's shadow was an area around him. It was the overflowing presence of the Holy Spirit. They couldn't figure it out, but when they started getting close to him, things started changing when they had an expectation. If I get close to him, things will start to change. Remember the woman of the issue of blood? Faith. They started hearing of these miracles. They started hearing of the real deal Christians in the community. Like, this Jesus thing is actually kind of real. They start hearing about it. And so the expectation, the faith level starts rising. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Let's just get around them, see what happens. I start getting around them. And this flickers of faith of like, if God, you're real. If you're real, if God will meet you with even small amounts of faith. You read in the Bible, there are people with like hardly, like terribly weak faith, little tiny seed faith. And God goes, that's enough for me to work with. Because then every person was given a seed of faith if you plant it. So they started hearing about the real deal going on. And they go, let's just get around them. And when they got around them, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the power started hitting them like a lightning rod catalyst. And people start getting healed. Going to temple was his daily routine. How else would they know where to put people? He would gather together with people every day to bring a word of encouragement, to find community. And when they would get around each other, things started shifting and changing. Worship got like really fun. And you're not checking your watch the whole time. You know, this is real. And then people started seeing their lives change. And they started getting curious. They started getting around him with the expectation of faith. And healings and deliverance started happening around them. When we walk in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit, when we walk vitally united to him, when we're talking to him throughout the day while we're on our lawnmower, when we're driving in our car, you know, when you're picking up the toys, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but it's about doing life with him, not for him. Come on, all you people that text all day long, your best friend, you know, we get our job done, but we're texting all day long, our best friend. We're talking to him all day long. People around them were healed and delivered under this umbrella of the Holy Spirit's presence. And the word spread that it was Peter's shadow. It was just what he was releasing around him. All right, Lord, I know I need to end. So guys, worship team, do you guys mind grabbing on the stage and like, I'm just going to chop my message in a third because why not? I'm gonna speak a couple minutes, but I want us to be able to like worship a little bit with whatever you think to do. Maybe the I Surrender song or whatever you feel led to do. So I want to challenge you with this thought, and I'll develop it next week. Your shadow will always release whatever overshadows you. Your shadow will always release whatever overshadows you. What presence, write this down, what presence are you carrying into the room? You will release whatever overshadows you. What presence are you releasing in your family, your church, your school, your workplace, your community, your neighborhood? Because remember, if you overflow with the Holy Spirit at home, with just you and him, it'll overflow into your community, which is your family, your workplace, you know, wherever you go, your routine. And then, remember, we all come together in a community and the world starts changing. And how many people know we need the world to start changing? But we must do our part. Our part is, our determined purpose is to be found in him, to be vitally united to him, to develop our love life with him. Holy Spirit is in me for my sake, because I need him, man, I need him. I'm a mess without him. But the Holy Spirit overflows from me for other people's sake. How much do you love the people around you? Maybe we need to fall in love with Jesus again till we get enough extra to start loving the broken, hurting, attacking world that might be coming against you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus loved him so much that when he was being beaten and crucified in front of his mom, like his mom's watching him. These were hateful, nasty people. It wasn't so much them, it was the spirits operating through them. They just wanted a scapegoat. They wanted someone to blame, and he's getting whipped and beaten and dying his last breath in front of his mom bleeding out. And his last breath is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's what dwelling with the Lord does to your heart. We stop making it about us. We stop making it so personal. Holy Spirit rests permanently inside of every believer, right? But the Holy Spirit is not released to overflow from every believer. We keep them in the box. I think it's time to let go of the control and stop being afraid of it getting weird. Weird people make him weird. Yes, sometimes he does stuff I can't explain, but like I just do my best to be myself. And for some reason, people still, what's the right word? They still like being around me because I'm myself. You be you. You're not going to get cheeseball weird giving your whole life fully to him. You'll just become the best version of you. And that's what the world needs. It's not about us. It's all about overflowing with the Holy Spirit, allowing him to bring healing and freedom, love, peace, and joy to the people around you. It is a privilege to host him and steward his presence, to release the Holy Spirit to change the environment we walk in. So we're just all going to stand. And you guys, can you give me 2 minutes? And we're just going to, and I'm going to develop this on how to stay in tune and how to reconnect. So come back next week. But right now, I just want us all to realign our hearts with him. Because guys, I know it's hard to be distracted. And just say, Lord, I love you with my whole heart. Today, I just give you my whole heart, my attention in this moment. And I'm going to just kind of stay in this place throughout the day. And when I miss it, I'm just going to go, I'm back. Holy Spirit, I surrender my life. Fill me up. Fill me with so much love that I can love. And my words would bring freedom and healing and peace to the people around me. Because this world needs to change and it starts with me. So as we sing this song, do that in your own words. Thank you, Lord.
Humbly I stand in offering with open hands, Lord, I bring everything and nothing less, my best, my all. You deserve my every breath, my life, my song. I surrender, I surrender all. Trust you. I'm letting go. I'm letting go to give you everything and nothing less. My best, my all. You deserve my every breath, my life, my song. deserve it. You deserve my every breath. My life, my song.
Jesus, we love you, Jesus. Our hearts are yours. And if you've never fully surrendered your heart to the Lord, or maybe you served him one time and just kind of got away, you just say this prayer with me. I just want to give everyone an opportunity. You might have already done it during the song. It really was just how you do it. You just say after me, Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for dying for me. I know you rose from the dead, and my life rose with you to a new life. I'm yours. Use me to help others. And if you go, man, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not overflowing the right stuff recently. Lord, we know you already forgave us, but just say this, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I give you an all-access pass to my life, my community, the world you sent me to. I'm going to overflow with you. I'm going to respond and not react. I'm going to respond to your leading, Holy Spirit, and not react to the emotions. Amen. So, let's be community. If you were going to go out to eat by yourself, ask three people, because you're probably going to get shot down. Remember, prom twice, okay? So it's okay. They might be busy. They might be insecure, okay? You might need to pay for them. Go to lunch with somebody. You know what? Have coffee in the back. Talk to someone. Get someone's number. Have a walking buddy. My friends, I have single moms. They don't have a lot of time. They're like a lot of my dear friends. We go for walks together. We go to the park with their kids. It doesn't need to cost you money to do life with someone. Amen? Well, we love you. Go shine for Jesus. We'll see you next week. All right. Bye-bye.